The IRS meets its match. I'm David Brancaccio. First, the S&P and the NASDAQ hit new all-time highs in early trading this morning. The Dow is up 117 points, 0.4%. The S&P up 0.4% at 3,334. The NASDAQ up 0.6%. Now, IBM stock is up 4.3% at the moment after quarterly profits beat expectations today. The pharma and consumer products firm Johnson & Johnson, that stock's down 1.2% after revenue was a bit lower than expected, even if profits were higher. Let's get a read from Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors, who says tough trade talk this week from President Trump aimed at Europe is not guiding markets.
Not a lot of concrete fact yet, but a lot of rhetoric. We've seen this pattern before with China. Europe has taken a second seat to China when it comes to trade. The market was much more focused on what was going on with the China trade discussions. So I think we'll find out more down the line. Too soon to tell.
All right. And it is in the context of profits, losses, and sales season when the quarterly reports come out. It's been going on for over a week. Prepared to assess?
Oh, my gosh. Over a week is just getting started. Remember that earnings come out for a long time. We have hundreds, literally thousands of companies reporting. And this is where the market takes their time assessing what managements are saying. So far, so good.
But your overall point is that investment professionals tend to focus on corporate bottom lines when those reports are available rather than politics in Washington, for instance.
Most definitely. The market does like actual data and facts. The trade discussions we know can go on for a long time with no clarity. Earnings and what CEOs are saying are factual data points that the market and investors can use to take action.
Susan Schmidt at Aviva Investors. Thank you.
Thank you.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Now to a story about the power of corporations versus the tax collector. It's about the time the Internal Revenue Service got really fired up, but still can't extract the money it thinks it is owed from a major corporation, in this case, Microsoft. Paul Keel is a reporter with the investigative journalism outfit ProPublica with a story published today. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, give us a taste of what Microsoft was doing that got the Internal Revenue Service so fired up.
Well, Microsoft was doing what a lot of the other really big tech companies and pharmaceutical companies was doing, which was finding a way to send their profits to tax havens overseas. So places like Ireland was a big one. Microsoft happened to send their profits to Puerto Rico, and they were doing these through deals that they would cut with their own subsidiaries in order to send their profits to these places. And it was an enormous problem. You know, hundreds of billions of profits are flowing out of the country every year. And so the IRS decided to kind of pick one case. They put it together, you know, an elite team, and they were going to try to make a statement by going after one of these big tax dodges.
All right. So they get like the Navy SEALs of IRS audits on the case. Of course, Microsoft has the sort of deep pockets that it can buy lots of legal advice as well. And the battle unfolds.
Yeah, so the battle unfolds, and because this battle has, you know, kind of spilled into court, we're able to tell the whole story of, you know, this team. There's some lawyers who actually used to represent corporations against the IRS who came to the IRS with the idea that they could do a better job than the IRS had been doing. And they started using tools that the IRS had not been using. They started getting more aggressive than the IRS had been known to be from, you know, from the corporation side of things. So they went outside to get an elite law firm, an outside elite law firm, to represent the IRS. The idea is this is an enormously complex case. We need to distill all these complex details and make as pointed a case as we can to a judge. And we need someone who has a lot of experience doing that, because frankly, the IRS hasn't done a very good job of that in the past. This made Microsoft extraordinarily upset. So upset that Microsoft kind of got together with some of its corporate allies and went to Congress to make sure the IRS would never be able to do this again.
Now, you do have Microsoft telling you that they follow the law, always fully pay the taxes owed, and said that in the year or years in question, Microsoft was the second largest taxpayer in the U.S. But, I mean, here we are all these years later. This dispute is all wrapped up and all settled?
It is, I would say, maybe in the middle. So it was an audit that was started 13 years ago. They've been fighting over certain documents for the last 6 years or so. Now they're at the stage where IRS might finally tell Microsoft, this is how much you owe. And we expect, given what has happened in the case so far, that this is an amount of additional taxes that they're going to be asked to pay, that over $10 billion. It's the largest audit in the history of the IRS.
And you see broader lessons here about the Internal Revenue Service and its ability to go after these big cases?
Yes, we wanted to tell this story for a couple of reasons. One is it shows what happens when the IRS does try to get aggressive with the big corporations. There was a big lobbying campaign to essentially take away a lot of the tools that the IRS used in this audit so that they couldn't do this to a corporation in the future. And then the other aspect of it is the IRS's budget has been totally gutted. So this was an effort that was launched way back when the IRS's budget was near its peak, 2010, 2011. Since then, they've lost a large chunk of their budget. They've lost a third of their enforcement staff. So this is the sort of thing that's not going to happen anymore. Now the IRS is not thinking about, you know, bold new initiatives to take on. They're just thinking about, how do we get to tomorrow? How do we make the damage as little as possible?
ProPublica reporter Paul Keel's piece is out today. Tomorrow, he's taking a look at Facebook's relationship with the tax man. Paul Keel, thank you.
Thank you.
And given the Washington news, your local radio station is working hard to bring you the real-time political coverage that is shaping our country. The Marketplace team is also hard at it, following the news of money, jobs, innovation, and trade. During this time of special impeachment coverage, you don't have to miss out on your evening economic briefing. You can listen to my colleague, Kai Rizdahl, via the Marketplace podcast at any time. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.